Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, I'm going to have a conversation with Zdravko Mijovčić, the director of the EDA Development Agency in Banja Luka, Bosnia and Herzegovina. We recorded this conversation during MISO Partners' recent LED Summer Academy. So in this conversation, we're going to talk about, well, basically lessons learned in local economic development. Hi, Zdravko.
Hi, Jörg.
It's great to have you here. So if somebody approached you today asking, well, what are the lessons that you've learned in many years of local economic development? So if we have to start LED now, we're in the early phases of LED, what can we learn from your experience? What would be, say, the two or three main lessons that you would point out or the main success factors that you would highlight?
Yeah, that's a good question because actually everyone has to learn his own lessons. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot. And that means actually I made many mistakes. But not too big mistakes, actually. I started to do such things, actually, with having some, let's say, theoretical knowledge related to enterprise development, okay. Which was not bad. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
And then I started to learn from the people I was working with. That means from the people... local people, mm-hmm. And then maybe I made some mistake. I took only one concept or only one model, which was actually the model of the World Bank, mm-hmm. Urban Development, you know that,
yes.
Called strategic planning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried to implement it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just ask, why did you go for that? I mean, there's a couple of tools around. The EU has been active in your region. They have come up with certain methodologies. GTZ has come up with certain methodologies. So what attracted you to the World Bank's urban development informed approach?
Yeah, actually, the EU approach or approach of some projects funded by EU. Their approach was even more complicated.
Okay.
You know, when I read it, I realized that that guys had no any significant experience. Yeah, actually,
okay.
You know, you have the things which are more complicated than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, nothing should be complicated, but you know, in this work, in this job. Mm-hmm. You have some really complex things, and sometimes you are complicating. But actually, that was the reason. GTZ was not so active in this field up to now. They are just starting.
Okay.
And last year, I was lucky to first. I think Frank Weltring was in Bosnia. We started to talk. I visited your website, and actually what was good in that I found the same questions I was asking myself.
Yeah, okay.
Because doing that job, you always have to ask yourself about, is that right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong, or am I too...
Is it me, or is it the system?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so many things,
yeah.
Because it's really not easy job, you know, as you know.
Yes.
And actually, all that time, from that time when I started to do that job, I was moving from one thing to the other. I was trying to improve something. Actually, I was learning.
Mm.
I was learning a lot, and my team was learning also.
Yeah.
And now I can't say that what was the best source of learning. Probably that interaction between us and that people that local people and different cases we were doing on, and actually the best thing was that we were always ready to learn.
Maybe let's come back to your experience with the World Bank approach. I mean, on paper, it looks very logical. It's very systematic. It has clear steps. But it sounded like you were not so particularly happy with the approach and with the results that you got out of it. So what happened there?
Yeah, actually, if I compare that with the other approaches and the other practices in Bosnia and Herzegovina, I would say we were better. Mm-hmm. And using that approach, we were better than the others.
Okay.
Because, for example, UNDP is introducing their approach, which is something I really can't understand. Mm-hmm. It's sort of inclusive and what else? Local development. That means trying to have everyone. Trying to have never-ending story and trying to start from the side of the people who are vulnerable, marginalized, yes. and such yeah. things, you know.
Yeah.
And what was wrong with our use of World Bank approach? Yeah. As you said, everything is nice on the paper, and we had pretty well-developed vision. Actually, before that, we were very serious about making analysis. Mm-hmm. It was not formal. It was real analysis, and we were coming to some critical issues.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that developing a vision and goals and objectives, it's too structured. Actually, the problem is it's too much structured.
How do you mean?
How can you, for example, create objectives using that model of SMART objectives? You are pretending to be much smarter and to have much more knowledge than you have at the time.
Okay.
And you are trying just to put, you know, at In 4 years, we will have so many jobs, precisely, in that area, and we will do that and that and that, which is actually some pretending to be, to know something what you don't know.
Yes.
And that's, and then at the end of the day, you are coming with so many programs, projects, and the other things, and your local infrastructure for implementing such things is missing. There is almost nothing there.
So basically what you're saying is, one, there is, it doesn't allow sufficiently for learning and for learning loops and learning iterations, and two, it is not really based on an organic concept. So in order to grow a process, to slowly involve more stakeholders, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's actually that, and one thing more regarding implementation. You have no any structure for implementation, and you have to, you're coming at the end of the day with your planning with much more projects than you want.
Okay.
Then they can implement. It's like a logical consequence.
Yeah.
You almost can't avoid that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's the consequence of the methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you do your best to try to come out with something like 5, 4, 6 projects, you are coming with 20, 30 if you are lucky.
Yeah. Right.
If you are not lucky with 50.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, okay.
And you know that it's a mission impossible, and you are trying to concentrate the efforts on some of them, but actually you are lying.
So what has been your personal consequence then as you made these experiences? How did you change your practice? How did you change to your approach to doing local economic development?
I was trying to find some other ways. You know, that one of the ways was that one I started to look the other practices, and I saw that you guys are doing really good things, which were actually similar to the issues and to the questions we were asking ourselves. And, you know, actually, to be honest, we were not so strictly using World Bank model.
Ah, okay.
You know, you can't use it strictly. If you want to respond to the problems, if you are not just applying methodology, if you are trying to use methodology in order to resolve some problems, to react on the problems, you are not satisfied with the methodology, and you are trying to make some improvements in the methodology or to change methodology. And we are now about both things, trying to improve what we already were doing. That means basically improving some steps in that methodology, but probably that's not the best solution. We have to change the whole concept. And that's the reason I am so interested in these things.
So if you try to point out, say two or three critical success factors for any LED initiative based on your experience now, what would be such critical success factors?
I'll talk about Bosnia and Herzegovina. That's specific situation. And according to our experience, first critical success factor is quality of local public leadership. And the second one, both are almost equally important, that one and the strengthness of the private sector. And if you have both such things, you are lucky. You can do something.
But in that kind of situation, it's actually also quite easy to do LED. If you have strong leaders and a reasonably organized and ambitious private sector, it's very straightforward. So what do you do when it's kind of in between? Political leadership is so-so, not too bad, not too narrow-minded, but also not so brilliant. And the private sector is to some extent organized, but also not so outstanding. What then?
Actually, when the private sector is not so strength or not so well organized, weak actually, you are trying to facilitate creation of a critical mass of companies, of people, of entrepreneurs in one branch or several branches. You are just trying to create to help them to grow and to adapt actually the strategy to what they need. And not actually what they need, but what can help, what can facilitate their growth. If
you maybe give an example of what might that be.
For example, we have now in one city a small but very promising group of wine producers. And also some other groups which are, and we can say that that group of wine producers is becoming a sort of critical mass. Not only for their subsector, but also for the other, for the rest of the private sector. Because they are becoming a model. A model of success, and they are creating a new pattern of self-organization also. And that's the way you can start building a strategy from their side. Because without such players, it's useless. Your job is useless. You can produce good paper, nice paper, but nothing else. And that's for example one way.
So to what extent are you then directly involved with such a group? So to what extent do you directly work with them and try to facilitate their upgrading process?
Very much, actually. In this case, we are a little limited because the municipality ordered that job. Municipality had a terms of reference in the tender, and we applied and won. And actually, there are some rules, and they wanted us to work as a pure consultancy. And the other thing, they already created some working groups from the people of the people from public sector, some old guys from university, and so on. And actually, in their approach, there was no so much space for involving private sector. But actually, what we did, being nice in the whole story, we made additional efforts and linked ourselves with that guys from the public sector. We recognized who are the right players, and started to talk with them and ask them to organize some events, and started to work with them. And that's actually, that was the best part of the whole job.
Then looking at the other side that you just mentioned, the public side. So if your local leaders are basically good persons, but not so outstanding, not so brilliant. So what do you do to upgrade there on that side?
Actually, that's the next challenge. In that situation, you can use, and we use the private sector. We are trying to create or help creation of a sort of pressure from that side to the public sector to have things moving. But also we are thinking more about, let's say, long-term perspective. How can we do what you are doing? For example, here with lead practitioners, we are trying to have not high level persons or high skilled people dealing with local economic development. You are trying to help, let's say, an average people that they can participate and that they can do the job. And we are thinking about something similar about the local leaders. Recently, we published a book about the best local leaders in local public leaders at the local level on Balkans. And that's really nice book. It's with the stories from researcher side and from the journalist side. We have actually 12 leaders and 24 stories, researchers and journalists. But actually, you can't influence having enough really good leaders.
So what you're trying with this book, for instance, then is, I would assume, to make it publicly known that there are such persons and to define role models again, to present them as role models to other local leaders?
Yeah, that's one point. That's right. The other is we are trying to promote such people, and we are trying to promote that job, that position. That position is really important, and from that position you can do a lot. And that 12 cases are showing that that position is really right position if the right person is there. But what we are thinking now is actually, as you are developing some tools for the lead practitioners, local economic development practitioners, as you are developing some concepts to make their work better focused and less complicated and such things. Maybe the next our challenge will be to do something similar for the local leaders.
Maybe one last point then. So is there anything else that if somebody asks you, so what should we do in LED when we start with LED? What are the big errors that we would like to avoid? Is there one other message that you would like to convey?
Actually, don't give the whole job to the consultants, because it's something, you know, in Bosnia and Herzegovina we have for the time being two, let's say, competing practices. One is you have donors, and they have their projects, and they have technical assistance provided by the projects. and offered to the municipalities related to local economic development.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you have some municipalities initiating that process by themselves, but actually looking for institutes, consultants, consulting companies that will do that job instead of them.
Yeah.
And both the things are wrong.
Yes.
Both the things are wrong, and actually, but what's really missing is also the structure of the people like we have here, a group of people who can help on the right way.
Yeah.
And on Balkans, that's really missing.
Great. Thanks a lot for your thoughts and for sharing this, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I hope too.